Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Gotta love a Wednesday when you think it's only Tuesday because of, you know, the week starting in New Orleans. So it's going fast this week. And now with the snow and everything.
Remember, it is Wednesday, so we're loving it. Yeah.
Yeah. My friend Paul just texted me. He goes, why do we need winter again? Can you tell me something that winter is beneficial for? And
yeah,
I'm like, well,
kills mosquitoes.
That's exactly what I
insects,
said.
Insects, flies.
Kills the dust mites, right?
Yeah.
Cools off Mother Earth. Ooh, that's not a good look on TV right now. That car sideways.
Oh,
man.
That's brutal. But we do it every Wednesday. Our poll question, which is the Fesco and Dusty Wednesday poll question. What do you want to hear more of on the air right now? Royals baseball or Chiefs football talk? Well, 158 of you have voted, and 84% of you have said Royals baseball.
Wow, that's up to 85.5% now. Royals baseball,
damn.
Wow. What's the text line was opposite, though, wasn't it? Didn't you say, like, everybody was saying Chiefs on the text line?
There was a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know, it's up to you, because, I mean, some of you are... like a lot of my friends, where you're like, I don't want to hear anything about the Chiefs until we get closer to free agency window opening up, mm-hmm. before we get to the draft. And I need a break. And then it's like, okay, well, then what do you want to hear? Nothing.
Right.
Okay.
I don't want to hear it anymore. No, I look.
You've got a positive baseball team.
Right.
You have former manager Ned Yost coming back to be an assistant to the general manager or an advisor to the general manager.
Right. Special advisor to the advisor.
You mm-hmm. have a top five baseball player in the league.
Right.
And you have a promising season that you're riding on the back of.
Right.
So, you all right over there?
No, I'm just waving at the camera.
Okay.
We're here. Hi.
I know what's going on over there. But no, I mean, I think there is a lot of that. And I think that, you know, we play it fair on both sides, right? We say, can the Chiefs or can the Royals get us to training camp? They got you all the way to the bye week. House money. Can the Royals do it again? Can they get you to the football season? I think now it's no longer a matter of can the Royals get you to the point of, you know, to St. Joe. Can the Royals get you into the regular season of the NFL? Can
yeah.
they give you what they did last year or maybe more? And then you have the Chiefs to discuss as well, because you'll have things that come up, rumors, you'll have fake tweets from Adam Scheffler, and then you'll have other stuff as well, which there could be a big trade this offseason. Binkley was just on, told us there could be some sort of like, well, you had mentioned a Willie Rofe trade,
yeah.
a Tyreek Hill type of trade, and two names that come up, and the number one that comes up as a possible trade candidate for you, Bob Fesco, is?
Chris Jones.
I'm
bringing up the name Chris
Oof.
Jones.
Max' eyes just got wide.
Look, I mean, they traded Tyreek Hill. Nobody is off the trade market, okay? And that's the one thing you still need to understand. And if you don't understand that yet, you're not watching this team properly. Everybody other than Patrick Mahomes, and now Travis Kelce, obviously, being in his last year or whatever, potentially, those are the two guys that are not available to trades. Everybody else is available to trades. And what did they do when they traded Tyreek Hill? They restocked that defense and they got better. Did Chris Jones suit up for the Super Bowl? Does anybody know? Did he play? Because his stat line, his stat line was a zero.
Yeah, two injuries.
His stat line was a zero in the Super Bowl. Now,
he hurt his neck in the first quarter.
You've got to trade somebody to get somebody in return. You're not going to trade, you know, Ken Phelps and get somebody great back in return unless you're the Yankees. But here's the thing with Chris Jones.
Ken Phelps.
Second highest paid player on the Chiefs roster right now, almost 13% of their salary cap. Daniel Jeremiah, who's a draft nerd, right? And I like his work, had a tweet yesterday, and he said, at this time last year, I had 12 defensive tackles listed that I could see as starters in the NFL. He says, I've got 24 now this year. It is a very, very, very deep defensive tackle draft. Binkley even alluded to it as well. So if there are 24 defensive tackles in this draft,
that's a crap ton.
Right? And Chris Jones is getting up there in age, right? Wasn't that productive this year like we wanted him to be. And now that this three-peat run is over, would you be willing to trade Chris Jones in a Tyreek Hill type of trade? I ask you guys, would you be willing to do that? Because I would. Now, I'm a trade everybody guy. I'm always looking to flip the roster. And I know the Chiefs are always looking to flip the roster. That's how they stay on top. They don't fall in love with players. They fall in love with the process and everything that's going on. And in order to get somebody big back in return or good back in return or picks back in return, you've got to give something up. So I ask you guys, would you be willing to trade Chris Jones in a Tyreek Hill type of trade and get that kind of haul back?
So what, they got a first and a third, a first and a second for Tyreek?
I can't remember. Wasn't it like 2 seconds and a third or something like that?
That's the next year they got McDuffie, Karloftis, Chenault, right. Cook, all those guys in that draft,
right.
And Karloftis.
Yep, it led to that 2022 draft where they were able to go out and stockpile and reset their whole team and turned into three straight Super Bowls. And so the Chiefs aren't afraid of trading players, right? They're not afraid of trading anybody, quite frankly, except Mahomes and Kelsey at this point on the roster. Chris Jones may be the guy that you look to flip to bring you some collateral back in return to hit that reset button with this team. Because you know they lost. The bad taste is in their mouth. They ain't standing pat.
I mean, I can be convinced for picks and stuff. I just don't think you're going to get enough in return. I don't think that this draft, the picks are valuable.
Tyreek Hill was more valuable, in my opinion, than Chris Jones, and you got a lot back. Yeah, at that point
in
time.
On the trade market, you're absolutely right. There's no question on the trade market he's more valuable. To the Chiefs, I would argue, no way.
I think we're seeing the age in Chris Jones. That's why I bring him up.
He led the league in pressures this year, Bob.
I still think we're seeing the age in Chris Jones.
I mean, he was the best at his position this season.
Okay, great. Led the league in pressure. So Tyreek Hill was the best at his position, you know, when they traded him to Miami.
Which, to the trade point, you should be able to get a first round pick then for Chris Jones.
There you go. You don't think you're going to get a lot in return. You're just saying he's the best at his position.
He's 31. Tyreek Hill was 27, 28.
Was the best at his position.
I think you can get one first. Yeah, I think you can get one first. Again, but to my point, I don't know. Like, you're talking about getting a left tackle. There's not a left tackle in the draft in the first round that you want that is worth trading Chris Jones for.
Oh, I didn't say just for a left tackle. I said to get picks. This team needs more than just a left tackle. This team needs basically an entire offensive line. It's going to need a lot on the defensive line as
well.
I'm
with you there. Yeah.
And it probably needs a running back. I mean, you know, Brett Veach has said on record, this year's free agency is the draft. And how many picks did you say they had, Dusty?
Six.
Six in a 7-round draft.
Yep.
That's not a lot. And so if this year's draft is going to be your free agency, then you're going to have to find a way to get more picks to replenish this roster.
Yeah, I can get there.
Can this team pull a Luka trade?
That's where I'm looking, too. What about Rashee Rice for Trent Williams?
Jeez.
I mean, that'd be your Luka trade.
Right? That'd be your Luka trade.
I would not want Trent Williams. But I might.
What about Andrew Thomas or Tristan Wirfs? Or, like, if you can get a top left tackle, but it's going to cost you Rashee Rice type of trade, would you be willing to do that? I mean, with the emergence of Xavier Worthy, it makes it, to me, a lot easier to consider trading a guy like Rashee Rice. Binkley said, didn't he say the wide receiver draft was pretty good this year, too?
Yeah.
Not bad, yeah.
It's not terrible. plus the emergence of Xavier Worthy is huge. But again, like, then you're taking out another big option for Patrick Mahomes, which Binkley said build the offense around Patrick Mahomes.
But Patrick, in my opinion, can't do anything until that left tackle spot's solidified. Binkley mentioned it when he said that Patrick Mahomes doesn't have the confidence in that left tackle spot. We saw that on the field in that Raider game, and then we saw it again the other night down there. So I don't think you can really worry about having weapons on your offense until that offensive line is solidified.
I would not take the Lucas strategy in this trade. We can talk about this more often in the show today. But, like, I would, if it were me, if you're going to get rid of Chris Jones and you're probably not going to bring back Nick Bolton, you're now losing two key pieces on your defense. If you are going to trade a guy like Rashee Rice that can bring back a haul, I would almost go talk to Dallas and see what their plans are with Micah Parsons. Because if you're losing a linebacker, you're losing a defensive tackle, go get some more pressure with an edge rusher and Micah Parsons. That kind of, you can move Tranquil back over to middle. You can keep Chanel on the outside, keep Micah Parsons. You're going to lose Rashee Rice. Draft another rookie wide receiver that's been decent in the draft so far in the last couple of years. Still have Xavier Worthy. Yeah, you lose Rashee Rice, but you gain a guy in Micah Parsons who creates, I don't know, some sort of, like, that would be like your blockbuster fantasy trade that would set the world on fire, where it's like, you know, third-year receiver and promising number one wide receiver Rashee Rice goes to Dallas, and they in return get Micah Parsons in like a third-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that may be, I would be loving that sort of trade.
I mean, those are the moves. Those are the bold moves. If you don't trade Tyreek Hill, you don't go to three straight Super Bowls. You've got to be bold. You've got to be convicted. You've got to be willing to make the move that's going to hurt at that instance in time, but you know is the right move because it's going to grow your organization. And this organization got their ass beat in at the Super Bowl, and they don't like that feeling. So I just feel like there's going to be, I'm not saying Chris Jones or Rashee Rice are traded, but those are two type of guys that you have to talk about and consider, because those are the type of guys that bring you good, you know, collateral back in return.
Yeah, Rice or Worthy, definitely on the trade block. I think that is more plausible to me than Chris Jones.
Rice
absolutely.
Or Worthy. You think Worthy's available to trade?
I think either of those guys would be, you know, good trade. But I also think there's more good wide receivers.
And I guarantee you he's going to have conversations about everybody on this roster. There will, because that's what general managers do. They have these conversations. So when they say, sources say there have been, yes, there's conversations constantly about players. Hey, you want to trade Chris Jones? No, but that's a conversation, right?
Yeah. Cam Newton and Steve Smith had a conversation, and DeAndre Hopkins had a conversation, except his was on the web. We'll explain what both those mean here on the other side. Listen to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, and it is your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Plow driver here from the 913, refilling on fuel to head back out. All y'all small cars need to just go back home. It's not good out here. Just call it a snow day and let us work and clear the roads today.
I agree.
That's coming from a snow plow driver.
Right.
As we dive into the 7 o'clock hour, we've been here for about an hour and a half, maybe longer, almost 2.5 hours. We drove in about 4 o'clock this morning. It was gnarly. Doesn't seem to be a lot of traffic out there, but be safe. Just go slow.
Right. Go slow. Take your time.
I'd hate to see if you get some sort of dock for being late today.
If you're late today, your boss writes you up, your boss sucks. Yeah, just be honest with you. You know, I'd quit on the spot. You're late today there, Clem. Yeah, late. It's, I don't know. It's first name I thought.
Fumble the ball there.
Yeah. You're late. Okay. What do you want me to do about it, Bill? Well, you're fired. I quit.
From the 620, can I have the name of the song you just played, please? I believe that is In the Club by 50 Cent.
Heck yeah.
And there's your confirmation. So yesterday, you got to be careful around this time of year from now until about April with fake tweets.
Oh, people still fall for these. 15 years later, we're still falling, right?
Because now you have the fake Shams accounts, you have the fake Schefter accounts, Rappaport accounts, Passan accounts, Glazer accounts, which they don't even exist, so don't even follow those.
But it's all coming kind of together now. Rumors in football, rumors in basketball, baseball, all of them.
And then we get the complete rebuttal back from the 816 delivery driver here. And the roads truly aren't that bad. Snow will be done soon as well.
Well, you're a delivery driver, probably in a bigger truck. And so when you're in that kind of truck, yes, it all depends on what kind of car you're driving. And me in the Bronco today, I was fine. But if you're driving, again, a two-door spec, you're probably not going to have success.
What's a two-door spec?
There was a commercial years ago, I think it was for McDonald's, that was talking about a two-door spec and whatnot. So
I thought that was like a shot at the boss.
Oh, no. Okay. Who? Our boss is named Roxanne. What does that have to do with spec?
Okay. But yesterday there was the tweet from a fake Adam Schefter account that said, basically, in layman's terms, Andy Reid has said that DeAndre Hopkins told him that he's retiring. And then DeAndre Hopkins replied to it, and it was all just a fake, hogwash of a tweet. DeAndre Hopkins never said that.
Right.
And then, so on and so forth. So. Yeah. Got to be careful with those things.
Yeah, and he's a free agent after this season. Like, if I'm the Chiefs, I honestly don't know like how this works in free agency. Do you have or at the end of the season, do you sit down individually with everybody and kind of tell them your plans, or do you just go back to the facility and you pack up? And if we hear from you, we hear from you, type of thing. If you're a free agent, like, there's no reason to bring DeAndre Hopkins back into the fold, in my opinion, here in Kansas City.
I saw a lot of things in the media about the refs, but obviously. What y'all gonna say now about the refs and us when there was a lot of touchy calls?
Yeah, come on.
Are y'all
man.
Gonna report that? Are y'all gonna talk about the refs now?
No, he's talking to the reporters, yeah. Not Eagles, not anything. But
right. Still,
like that, we haven't heard that really all week.
Yeah.
When they were asked about bad referees at the podiums on the opening media night, it was like, yeah, whatever. What's the next question?
Right.
Yeah,
they didn't want to get into it. And then after the game, they get their ass handed to him. He dropped a big pass, and they're complaining about refs. Quite honestly, like hindsight being 20/20, I'd rather have the draft capital than. DeAndre Hopkins, and now you see why they didn't get him the ball as much as they wanted to, because they wanted to keep that pick, right? Didn't it go from like a fifth to a fourth round or something like that if he played like 50% of the snaps, right? And so they were able to give up a lesser pick for DeAndre Hopkins. But hindsight being 20/20, which it always is, I'd love to have that draft capital back, because DeAndre Hopkins was a bust. I mean, he didn't really do anything for this organization from an on-field standpoint, to kind of make them better, to give you what you thought you were going to get. It's always been kind of the reason why I'm like, you're adding a veteran guy mid-season. I'm not a huge fan of this, but they needed a wide receiver at the time, so I wasn't going to, yell and scream. It was fine. I expected maybe a little bit more out of DeAndre Hopkins, guys. I don't know what you thought about it, but like hindsight being 20/20, would you rather take the fifth-round draft pick back now instead of DeAndre Hopkins? Probably, because I don't really remember him doing a whole lot that really helped get, he didn't have a catch in the Houston game, obviously, and dropped a big one in the Super Bowl. Like, in the games that mattered most, DeAndre Hopkins really didn't do anything.
I think the DeAndre Hopkins signing was, they needed somebody to help fill the void of the Rashee Rice miss.
Yeah, they did.
And if Rashee Rice comes back next year, and he's, we just did a topic of he could be traded, but that's a possibility to bring back a haul. If he is back next year, which I think is the likelihood of the scenario, then there really is no need for a DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
And he was there to be that trusty third and short, third and mid, can I throw it to you, catch it, grab it, get the first down, move forward. And then obviously we got the 60% of snaps throughout everything. But I don't think that he's necessarily an option on this team next year, because you would have Worthy and Rice and Travis Kelce, and you're going to have the guy they drafted coming back at the tight end position as well, mm-hmm. who I think they're going to try to get into the fold,
yep.
to try to see if he can be that replacement to Travis Kelce. Plus, you have...
Can't I remember his name
you
either?
You have Noah Gray as well. I know it's drawing a blank. Yeah. The tight end they drafted?
Yeah, from...
big dude.
Jared Wiley.
Wiley, yes.
Because he got hurt early in the year, and there's kind of just kind of
blues ACL,
right?
Yeah. So, again, not a whole lot of cap money as of right now. You have $11 million. And I get it. Like, DeAndre Hopkins is a veteran. He's a potential Hall of Famer. But I think that this year his role was to be that trusted receiver that could fill the void for losing one of your main trust receivers from a year before. Now that guy's coming back. You went for your run, got to the Super Bowl, lost. I get it, but now it's probably time that you will depart,
because
I don't think that you need his role here.
Yeah, you really don't. Like, the DeAndre Hopkins trade kind of reminds me of when they got Larry Darrell and Darrell from the Padres for the Royals in, 2016 or 17, and it just didn't work out, and those guys just didn't, give you what you needed at the end of the day. And that's kind of where I was with DeAndre Hopkins. I was kind of excited about it. We saw Mac's face when they traded for DeAndre Hopkins. He was very excited about it. But, again, that's why you just necessarily don't go after names that you know, because names that you know a lot of times are past their prime. And DeAndre Hopkins, he was a disappointment, man. And then to cap it all off with that big drop in the Super Bowl when I remember having conversations about how reliable his hands are, and he's had 8 drops in his whole career, something like that. I feel like he had 8 drops here in Kansas City alone. Like, it just didn't work. And so it's okay to move on from DeAndre Hopkins in that situation.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought that, like, once the playoffs started and the whole, like, 60% snap thing, I thought that would be irrelevant. And
yeah,
we'd see his role kind of, you know, extend. But it was, like, Juju that was really the kind of the veteran guy that was getting more of the action. And again, maybe that's just because he was the one who was open. But again, there was a very clutch drop in the Super Bowl. I know that doesn't weigh down what DeAndre Hopkins was for this team. I thought he brought a lot of leadership, a lot of help to Xavier Worthy, guys like that. But again, it's more so about need and want next year. I don't think you need him. Even if you might want him, you don't need him next year if you're having Rashee Rice back and Xavier Worthy, plus what you might find in the draft, plus what you have that didn't play this year, plus you had Travis Kelce coming back for another year, which I still think is 100% a possibility as well.
Yeah, well, they also talked about, you know, with Juju. I mean, they designed the first play of the Super Bowl to go to Juju Smith-Schuster, right? Like, that's what they did. The first play of the Super Bowl is going to Juju Smith-Schuster. And so I think at the end of the year, they probably had more confidence, faith, and belief in Juju because he'd been here before. It just felt like it just didn't work, you know, with DeAndre Hopkins. And sometimes things just don't work out. And that's why you don't normally see a lot of trades in the NFL during the middle of the season, because you're bringing guys in. It takes a while to get accustomed to, and you know, just because you know the name doesn't mean it's going to be a good player.
Plus, there could be another guy that comes out next year that's like an Adam Thielen type
guy. Right,
there's
going to be another guy like this, like DeAndre Hopkins. If you need somebody, there's somebody out there that you can go get.
And they do need someone. They need depth. I mean, next year it's Worthy, Rice, and Remigio.
Right.
That's who's the wide receivers are on this team.
That are on your roster.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, when you put it like that, you're right. There's a big need at wide receiver. Like,
I would take Hopkins as a depth piece, fourth or fifth
over
guy.
Over Hollywood Brown?
No.
So would you rather Brown or Hopkins?
Brown.
Yeah, I would rather have Brown too. Yeah,
so for sure.
Then that's another reason why Hopkins wouldn't be back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you bring back both of those.
No,
guys.
Probably
you only
not.
Bring back one of those three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe one of those four if you put Watson in that category as well.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of guy that's like kind of been the odd man that kind of sticks around for Patrick Mahomes, because he has the over the top. He has the random. Oh, there it is.
Reliable. There's, like he catches the
plus
ball.
Plus Noah Gray's back next year. You know, you're going to have him as well.
They gave him that big contract, right?
Right before the season started.
And he was an effective player this year. He was a nice player for the Chiefs this year. But you know, Brett Veach decides they want to move on from them. So what? I don't care. Like, I don't fall in love with names anymore. It's all about the jersey and putting together the team that they think is going to be best. And if they think it's great with DeAndre Hopkins, by all means, bring him back. If they want to move on, who the hell cares?
And hindsight's always like the worst part about sports, because
it is.
Like, you know, you could look back at the draft and be like, oh, wow, they should have gotten, you know, Daniels instead of Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. And then you could have gotten, you know, this guy instead of that guy. Or, you know, everybody was excited when DeAndre Hopkins was signed. We were all excited, but like, we were excited with the potential that we might have gotten. And then by the end of it, that excitement kind of, you know, muddles down that original day of excitement of getting him, because you thought of what it could be and then what it wasn't, which kind of creates this conversation that you have today. That's why it works on both sides of the argument.
And that's why, too, expectation. Like, if you had grandiose expectations for DeAndre Hopkins, then you were disappointed. I just had expectations that he would kind of be around and be there and, you know, be a reliable receiver. And he really didn't do that ultimately here in Kansas City.
And someone says, was Hopkins not playing because he wasn't very good? No one ever said that, but that appears to have been the case.
Well, I think it's hard to assimilate yourself into an offense in October.
I think he's still good. I just think that there were certain plays that he had that were designed for him. And then when you get to the clutch part of the season, if those plays didn't sell you, they don't make the final cut. Like, that's just the way that goes.
Yeah,
so.
And also, too, I think, you know, when you leave a situation and enter a new one, there's a huge learning curve. There's a big-time learning curve. And I know they work with DeAndre Hopkins, you know, 24 hours a day for that first week, trying to gear up to get him to, you know, get ready and be part of that offense. And, you know, it was what it was. But ultimately, too, like, Patrick Mahomes probably couldn't utilize DeAndre Hopkins to the best of his ability either, because that offensive line never gave him the confidence. And I think that's what we have to go back to when we talk about that offensive line, the confidence that Patrick Mahomes has behind that offensive line. If you're an athlete at any level and you don't have confidence when you step up to the plate or you get behind that offensive line, you're not going to be able to do your best. And that's why it's so important, in my opinion, to revamp this offensive line to give Patrick Mahomes that sense of confidence like he had dare I say, when Orlando Brown was there, right? As much as we didn't like him, but at least Patrick had confidence back there, and you could see that confidence. By the time we got to the midseason, I think Patrick just lost all confidence in his offensive line, and that has a trickle-down effect.
Well, speaking of confidence, one guy that's never lacked it is Cam Newton.
How did you handle the pressure of being the top pick?
Let's put it in perspective. You're the top pick because what?
Well, you play.
No. You're looking at it from a personal situation. I'm talking about from the professional situation. You're the top pick because that was the worst team in the NFL the year before. For me, I wanted to be the number one pick. You could potentially be the first pick, but bro, you have no way of impacting the game like a quarterback does. You can lock down the number one receiver. You can make impact plays on offense all you want, but it's still not like a quarterback. My issue is when I was the first pick, I went into a locker room of losers. Guys didn't know how to win. Guys didn't know how to prepare. It was a culture shock for me. The games don't mean a lot to a lot of people in the league like you would expect. It's just money. Not everybody has capabilities to be impact players. They're just players.
Cam Newton just spitting all sorts of facts in that soundbite. I mean, and I know I'm sure Mac at 26 years old hates to hear that people don't care about the wins and losses. They care about the money. But Cam Newton pulled the curtain back on a lot of stuff there. And then, of course, Steve Smith responds. He was upset that Cam called, you were 1-15. You're a loser. There's no other way around it. You're a 1-15 football team. You're a bunch of losers. And so that's why they had the number one overall pick. But it kind of got me to thinking, like, if you have the number one overall pick, Tennessee, this year, right, and you're going to draft a wide receiver, that guy's not going to have success. You don't have a quarterback on that football team. And until you have stability at your quarterback position and a legit quarterback, you're wasting your time drafting wide receivers and running backs. You've got to find that signal caller. Like, you can draft Travis Hunter, and you can put him out there at wide receiver at number one if that's what you want to do. Who's throwing him the football? And then he's not going to get the ball. He's not going to put up big numbers. He'll be labeled as a bust. Most of the time, these people fail in the NFL as players because the organization fails to give them the tools necessary to have that success. And that's why you look at a guy like Travis Hunter. You hope he goes to a situation where they've got a quarterback on their roster. But Tennessee doesn't. Cleveland doesn't. The Raiders don't. The Giants don't. Like, you're in those top four or five spots in the draft for a reason, because you don't have a good quarterback on hand. And then you draft a wide receiver, and then that wide receiver doesn't have success, and everybody wants to label that guy a bust. And so until you get that quarterback position figured out, I don't know, man, I'd go on defense if I was Tennessee.
I think there's a few things that Cam Newton says that are very anomaly-ish, if that makes sense. There's a couple outlier statements. One, Cam Newton is a very dominant personality and came from a very, like, prolific college career. Mm-hmm. Like, and we saw Cam Newton at Radio Row. The guy is massive. Like, you can see him from a mile away. And he's very bright. He's very colorful. He's very attractive on all sorts of facets, personality wise, looks, like, everything. And I think when that sort of personality goes into a 1-15 locker room, like, that's a sort of change that just kind of is, it's just going to happen whether you like it or not. And I think Andy Reid's kind of like that when he came into the Kansas City Chiefs organization. He's like, hey, here's what we're going to do now. And if you don't like it, you can get out. Yeah. But here's how I do my business. Here's how things go. Here's how I start from, like, ownership to PR to coaching to players. These are my expectations. If you believe in it and trust it, it will work. You see the result. Cam Newton goes into that team, wins MVP, takes to the Super Bowl, goes 15-1 in one season, right? Like, completely turned it around. And I always go back to when I hear stories like this about a loser mentality of a locker room that completely gets changed by a dominant personality. And I go back to watching The Last Dance when Jordan was drafted by the Bulls. When he went to the Bulls, he said guys didn't care about anything in the games.
Yep.
They just kind of played grab ass in practice. And then they'd go out and do, you know, their party activities, play cards, gamble, drink, do whatever. And when Jordan was young and wanted to win, he would go into practice and just run laps around these guys and was like, this is going to be the standard. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is how we're going to do it moving forward. And those guys were traded and taken away. And then Jordan and his team was built for two different three-peats.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of those anomaly type of personalities and athletes. When you see that guy, you're just kind of like, oh, my God. It's like Mahomes when he came and started throwing passes in practice. Travis Kelce's like, all right, I think I'm done being like a cocky, arrogant jerk. I'm just going to be a cocky, arrogant, great tight end now because I have a talent here that can take everybody up.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe what Cam Newton says, but like you take a guy like Drake May and put him into a locker room and be like, all right, who's this guy? Because he doesn't have that sort of personality. He walks in like, all right, SOBs, let's get ready. Let's go. This is how I do. This is what I'm about.
But his new head
coach does. Yeah, for sure. So, like, when you have that, it works. But not everybody has that when they get drafted. Not everybody is that big sort of, like, colorful, loud person that you've seen on TV being successful in college and also showing that in the next step of his career, which is the NFL. So there's a lot of truths into that, but there's also a lot of like things that cannot be because those certain people don't have that with their sort of, you know, development of their character.
But I think that though only that type of personality can really only be, in my opinion, with your quarterback. Because you you can have the great wide receiver. But we've seen wide receivers without that's like people are investing this money into wide receivers. Unless you're solidified at the quarterback position, you're stupid. You're spending bad money on right. wide receivers because you need that quarterback. The quarterback, like Cam Newton, like that's what you want out of your quarterback. Yeah. You want that guy that's going to come in there. He's going to be the leader. He's going to turn things around. But a wide receiver really can't do that because you don't have that impact on the field. Cam Newton had the impact off the field and on the field as well. And being that quarterback, just like Patrick Mahomes, just like Andy Reid, like you have to have your big time positional players be those leaders, be the guy that everybody's going to follow and be the guy that turns that culture around. A wide receiver, offensive lineman, running back, they just don't have the ability to do that because it's not about them. It's about that quarterback. So Cam Newton handled it perfectly in Carolina. What he did, he took him to the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. I mean,
and I'm sure Steve Smith became a better player because of Cam Newton.
But in the downside of Cam Newton is that all of that is a lot of smoke and mirrors. Because in that Super Bowl, he kind of showed his ass. Like, yes. He didn't go to the fumble after the game at the podium. He got up and walked away. And it's easy to have that conversation. But again, like that's why Cam Newton is so like out of both sides of your mouth, right? Like he had the comment not too long ago about how he wouldn't give away his MVP for a Super Bowl trophy.
Right. You're right.
That's not a leader. But then he talks like this, like, oh, I went in that locker room and I knew I was a leader. I knew who I was. I knew that team sucked. Like I carried my – and that works, but that can wear out fast when you don't continue that sort of attitude. And, you know, even a guy like that doesn't have a huge rah-rah personality, but a guy like Alex Smith when he came into the Chiefs organization, like – he was a quarterback that was a leader, but he didn't lead by his voice. He just kind of led by his persona. Like, he led by his leadership. Yeah, like, he was the kind of guy that knew the system, was older than everybody, knew what Andy Reid was trying to do, and was like, hey, trust this guy. He'll show you. And then taught Mahomes his way, and then Mahomes has done everything since then.
That's right.
You know, I think it depends on the level of talent of the player and, like, their personality as if they can change it. Now, obviously, you want that to be the quarterback, but I would say that since Minnesota drafted Justin Jefferson, they've kind of taken a different step towards things, right? He's made their quarterbacks better. He's made Kevin O'Connell able to trust his quarterbacks like a Sam Darnold, Kirk Cousins. Like, hey, if 18's over here, continue to look his way.
But you have that coach, too, who sees that game as because he was a quarterback, right? And I think Kevin O'Connell helps move that process, you know, forward as well with Justin Jefferson and those quarterbacks because you've got a good coach that knows how to put any quarterback seemingly in position to be successful. But you know, Tennessee doesn't have that. They got an auto parts guy selling, you know, the stuff down there. But that's also a problem in the NFL is, like, we don't give guys time as a head coach anymore, truly to build the program. I mean, Gerard Mayo, like him or not, was fired after 1 year. He had no chance, no shot to build anything there in New England and get that job done moving forward. So there's a lot of panic. Like not New England, but Tennessee now has a new general manager, I believe, right? They ran Carthen out of the town, right?
City.
That's right. Borgonzi's going down there, right? So what do you think they're going to do down there? Very much like what we saw here in Kansas City. But that quarterback doesn't exist. Tennessee has the number one pick, like the Chiefs had Eric Fisher that year. Who do you take at number one? I just don't think in this draft, if you're Mike Borgonzi in Tennessee, you're reaching for a quarterback in this situation. I would rather sign Sam Darnold for a year or a couple of years as a stopgap guy, or maybe you go out and you get you make a trade for Matthew Stafford, because clearly, I don't know what his wife is putting blurred pictures up and all this kind of nonsense. Maybe you make a trade.
Well, there's your first run.
You make a trade for Matthew Stafford or a veteran quarterback like they did for Alex Smith, and then you draft literally the best available player at number one. Whoever you believe that player is, do not listen to what anybody else tells you or anything of that nature. You draft legitimately the best player. You get your Alex Smith quarterback, and then you can start building your franchise. And then when that Patrick Mahomes guy is there, who are similar, then you draft that guy at quarterback. Tennessee's going to be a fun watch because I think Borgonzi's going to do it a lot like we saw here in Kansas City.
two quarterbacks might be a little bit delusional. One, obviously. The other one, well, it's just you can't make these sort of expectations for yourself. We know the history. We'll talk about it next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
You guys will respect this text. As we go to the text line, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line to respect the text. New bit coming in the winter months since football's over. From the 816, guys, just got back to work and the secretary asked all of us if anyone was military or former. The reply all guy responded, Army retired. We have one here too. You just respond to the person, not the group. So we're still getting the reply all. It's yet to be.
We're going to get one today when they say, hey, you know, if you can't make it in, you know, please just do whatever you have to do. And we'll get the hope everybody remains safe today. I was waiting for that one.
We got about 11 minutes till we get our first company-wide email, which is the happy birthday and happy anniversaries.
Right.
And then it's the congratulations. Happy birthday. Hope everyone made it safe in and out of work today. Hope you made it safe. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
But it does look like there's more activity out there.
A little bit more out there. I just talked to one of the guys that came in, our guy down the hall, JR. He's like our ops manager. I said, how are the roads? He said, pretty bleepy out there. I said, yep, I can see that. So that's somebody who's just out there on the roads. And, you know, I think it does kind of look like the snow is a lot lighter than it was this morning. It's starting to just like kind of flurry a little bit out there right now. So hopefully it has dissipated and we can get the plows out there and clear those roads and get everybody around the town safe today.
Pretty hysterical that the Pittsburgh Steelers have made it evidently obvious that they do not want Mr. Littlefinger Aaron Rodgers.
That'd be great. Sean Elliott, who plays for the Steelers. Tweets. There's a graphic trending. Steelers may be interested in Aaron Rodgers, and this guy tweets, leave his ass at the retirement home. That's a player on the team.
So he's not going to Pittsburgh.
Don't bring him here.
I mean, like the guy, would they say that like the reason that the Pittsburgh Steelers don't want the Jets didn't want him to do any more McAfee interviews.
Yeah, they told him that was kind of the deal. Like they sat him down, I guess, last week, and I just watched a cop car peel out right here on Squibb Road. Yeah, he just kind of came out of our parking lot and fishtailed
a little bit, sir.
Be careful out there.
Low and slow. Also, great snacks.
Yes. Nice. So he met with the Jets last week, you know, and one of the things was that you can't do McAfee anymore, which I don't blame them. I mean,
but
like
they also let him do it. Now they're not going to.
Well, it's a new regime. It's a totally new regime. New general manager, new head coaches, new bosses are in there, and they're telling him, you know, hey, I'm the new guy in town, and you're not doing it anymore. Well, then I'm not going to play for the Jets. Fine. We're good with that. If you don't want to be here and McAfee is the reason why you don't want to be here, because what he was doing, he's undermining the team. He's, you know, getting involved in stuff that probably shouldn't be involved with and talking about. Like, he became a major distraction. That show that he was on, that segment, I should say, that he was on, I would argue, and I don't know if you guys agree or disagree or whatever, would you agree that it was probably the most important / listened to, watched football segment of the week on any platform was when Aaron Rodgers went on Pat McAfee? I guarantee you more people in the league, around the league, fans paid attention to that segment every week than anything else NFL related. What do you guys agree or disagree on that?
I think it depends on the day or the moment in Rodgers' season last year. Like, it also, I think it helps with streaming and being able to go back and watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I think a lot of people are like, oh, I'm not going to watch Aaron Rodgers. He's a blowhard. I'm tired of hearing what he has to say. And then it's all of a sudden, you're Rodgers today on McAfee show. You're like, hang on, you know? So it's like,
yes.
Yeah, like it's an attention grabber for sure. But I mean, I didn't think about the new regime, and that's a very good point. Cause like, that is one of those things like that could happen. Like, I don't know Carrington's on Fox 4 every Friday at 9. That'd be like if Speck left and let's say Rob Brenton took over, he'd be like, hey, buddy, like your priority is 96.5. Like you're no longer doing shows on Fox 4 on Friday at 9. You're just not doing it.
Right.
That's your boss telling you.
That's your boss telling you.
And if your boss says that, you have to be like, Okay. Or you have like, I don't really want to do that. It's like, well, if you don't want to do that, then you can go find somewhere else to work and they can let you do that then. And you're like, oh, shoot. Okay. Yeah. That would never happen here. I'm just saying, like, giving it like an analogy that's close to home.
Yeah.
But like,
they also told Rodgers he had to be there for all the offseason activities this year. And he said he wasn't interested in doing that. But we've got a new regime, bro. Like, you need to be here if you're going to be the quarterback. And we don't want you going on McAfee. Other than that, we'll be happy to have you back. You're not interested? Great. We knew you wouldn't be.
Exactly.
Yeah, perfect.
See ya.
Yeah. And that's their way of saying, he quit. We didn't fire him. He quit. He didn't like the new rules. And you're taking over a Jets team that's been total dog crap for 50 some years. I mean, that's the worst organization, arguably, in American professional sports. They have the longest playoff drought, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're coming in and we're going to put down some. And that's part of the problem. You let Aaron Rodgers do whatever he wanted and never held that guy accountable. And it had an impact on everybody else in the organization. At times, I don't think people realize that. Like, if you're going to do different rules for different players, fine. Jimmy Johnson did that with Emmitt Smith and all those guys. You sometimes earn it. Rodgers didn't earn anything. They had a coach that had no backbone and spine, and you just kind of let him run amok, and it had an impact on everybody because they saw what Aaron Rodgers was able to get away with, and so everybody else was probably thinking, well, it's not that important, so nobody was putting in the work. You got to cleanse that guy out of your organization, and if any organization brings him in, they're fools.
Speaking of fools and organizations, the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott are high up there. Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, according to Todd Archer, who did the story on this. Todd Archer is an ESPN NFL Nation reporter, covers the Dallas Cowboys, and has covered the NFL since 97. Quarterback Dak Prescott says, I believe this team is, quote, very close, end quote, to its own championship. I don't really know what its own championship means, but apparently he means the big game winner of Super Bowl 60. Is possibly the big game or its own championship that they think they can win. You kind of put this in as like Dak Prescott, the very Dallas thing to do.
Oh, it is a Dallas thing to do. It's marketing 101 for the Cowboys.
That ain't happening. I'm sorry. You're the third best team in your division. And one team is a quarterback and one more player away from really kind of giving you a battle for the third best team in your division.
Yeah, depending on who the Giants get at quarterback this year, we'll kind of rank that hierarchy of the NFC East. There was talk about them potentially getting Matthew Stafford yesterday.
I mean, imagine if they just go get Stafford and Cooper Kupp to go with Malik Nabers and that rookie wide receiver running back as well. I mean, that could...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Turn that franchise around for a little bit. I don't know if it but it would make them.
Matthew Stafford could be their Alex Smith.
It could be better than Dallas. I mean, Dallas has Dak and CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons still. I get that. But it's like, you're not close to a championship.
You just fired your coach and hired a guy who's never been a coach. I think the odds would be better that Brian Schottenheimer gets fired before the season's over than Dallas winning a championship in the next 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, you're.
The last time we won a Super Bowl, I could still get hard without taking a pill. Nowadays, my dinger just looks like a wet biscuit.
You're not close to anything as long as that guy's your running the operation. Yeah. So, coming up on the other side, streaming, it's here to stay. We'll tell you why. Fesco, Dusty, Mac here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.